His father celebrated with a special Martin Luther King Day message entitled Martin's Greatest Gift. Citing Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 12, verse 26, Paul writes, "If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it." Dear friends, I know January is a very dreary month and we could all use a break. Besides, President's Day is a long way off, and a good stiff shot of retail therapy will do wonders for the economy. After all, what's not to like about another three-day holiday weekend? Or so went the undercurrent argument in favor of dedicating a weekend every January to the memory of Martin Luther King Jr. The arguments bear no repetition. Years have passed and MLK Day has slipped into the rotation of routine events that shape our lives, smack in the middle of the NFL playoffs, and right before Groundhog's Day. But Martin's greatest gift to us is not just another day off. Neither is his greatest gift a seat on a bus or a lunch counter for a minority of us. It's not even his wake-up call to the majority that was comfortable living in atrophied isolation, actively oblivious to the catastrophic rot around us. Behind it all, his greatest gift was to vividly lay bare the body of Christ and challenge us to live in it. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Paul wrote it, Martin lived it, and he died for it. The message is simple, and it's been in Scripture for a millennia, but we're a stiff-necked people and obviously need regular reinforcement. There was no ghetto in the Garden of Eden, no separate but equal. We are of common stock, children of Eve, or Lucy, as the anthropologists prefer. There were no reruns of Calvary with separate white, black, Asians, and Hispanic castes. Christ died once for all, and in him we are all risen together. We are the body of Christ, not the distant cousins of Christ, with a polite nodding acquaintance of each other to be endured in quiet reserve at rare gatherings. Christ never commanded that we tolerate each other, much less mollify each other with midwinter holidays. Jesus said it quite simply, love one another. Not the racist degradation from a Birmingham jail, nor his bloody martyrdom on a Memphis motel balcony could shake Martin's fidelity to Christ's message of love. Martin's immortal words inscribed on his memorial put a gentle message powerfully. Hatred paralyzes love. Love releases it. Hatred confuses life. Love harmonizes it. Hatred darkens life. Love illuminates it. What a legacy to take home to glory. A life laid down in Christ as a witness to his enduring love. What a gift of brilliant insight and articulation on bonds closer than brotherhood. We are one, beloved of God our Father, united in the body of Christ. Martin's gift is the kind that keeps on giving. For over 50 years, it has guided our sense of civil justice. When and if, as I pray, that necessity ever fades, there is a more enduring lesson he left us that transcends perceptions of pigmentation and DNA. In Valedictory, he summarized the power of truth, love, and our human condition. I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. That is why right, temporarily defeated, is stronger than evil triumphant. We thank you, Martin. We honor you. We rejoice in you. Happy birthday. This has been Father Celery with a special This Week's Focus. Follow me on iTunes, Facebook, or Twitter. God love you.